News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. Jared Hudson, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, will be our guest later on in the hour. Right now, our Tuesday standard guest.
Yes, that is Quinn Hillier, and you can read his work at his website, quinnhillier.com, but he also writes for NOLA.com and The Advocate, and his father recently announced a member of the Louisiana Political Hall of Fame. We had a great conversation about that last week. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun learning about your dad, by the way, last week. We appreciated that. That was cool.
Thanks. I was very proud of him. He left us a long time ago, but good to see him get the recognition.
And plenty we can discuss, whether it's the war in Iran, which today seems like a particularly important day as for where that goes from here. But the other big story is Artemis II. And traveling farther than any human has before, yesterday slingshotting around the moon. I was hoping that one of the astronauts would say, you know, slingshot, engage, like Ricky Bobby in that movie. But pretty cool watching all this go down. They're supposed to splash down back in, this Earth on the 10th of this month, so 3 days away. What have you been watching this, Quinn? What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm glad once they went on the far side of the moon, I was glad that they don't have a computer named Hal and that their commander isn't named Major Tom.
Yes.
Look, this is fantastic. I can remember when I was 5 years old watching the moon landing. I won't bore you all with describing everything, but I have this vivid, vivid memory. I will tell you that I had a Snoopy in a spacesuit while I watched it. and it's taken this long to go back. It's astonishing. But this is actually really important. This isn't just, okay, well, we want to say we were there again. The New York Times, of all places, has a really good explainer. I think it came out yesterday, but y'all can look it up, on what we hope to accomplish here. There are elements that are hard to get on Earth. There's stuff like heavy helium. There's hydrogen and oxygen. They're actually water molecules that we can break down and use for rocket fuel, and we hope to then use it as a base for further exploration. We can get refrigerants that can help us do heavy-duty computing back on Earth. There's all sorts of good stuff, and the New York Times explains it well. But look, this is a triumph. 252,000 miles away, the farthest any human has ever traveled from Earth. And again, it's the United States leading the way. So just wonderful stuff.
Yeah, there's some about it. A couple of things. Dalton really, really got excited by it. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is brand new for you for this kind of thing, right? Whereas Quinn and I remember, you know, from years past. So going up to the moon or near the moon or around the moon, wasn't such an original idea to us, but Dalton was excited about it. And then also, I would think a lot of members of his generation feel the same way, Quinn. This is all new.
This is all new. I mean, it's old, but it's new. And again, we're going to the far side of the moon. Who was that, though? You know, maybe we're finally reaching Pink Floyd.
That's been the talk.
Yeah, but look, this is really good. We also can detect radio waves there that we cannot get on Earth's atmosphere, so we can find out way more about what's going on in other solar systems way out in our galaxy that not even the Hubble telescope can find out about, stuff like that. This is magnificent, and we pulled it off. Let's hope these astronauts get home safely. We have every reason to believe that they do, and when they do, boy, do they and their whole team deserve massive praises.
Yeah, and I think the bravery, you know, the courage they're showing is obvious, and I love the messages they've been delivering back to Earth along this trip, especially, you know, they've been asking the black astronaut and the female astronaut everything about their sex and race, and they seem to be trying to say, listen, this isn't about what sex we are or what race we are. This is about us as human beings doing what we're doing. I've really liked the response from this crew, and they seem to be really trying to pass it along to that next generation. That was one of the messages they left as they were getting ready to orbit the moon last night. But for me, it's about being explorers.
Yeah.
And Quinn, we've talked about, you know, some of our segments have been about the history of the United States, and so much of our history is wrapped up in pushing to that next level and really exploring westward in the United States. And I think as a species, if we stop exploring, we're losing a pretty big part of who we are.
Well, I'm glad, Dalton, first of all, you said that better than I was about to. I wanted to say something along those lines, but you just put it really, really well. I can't add anything to that, because that is the spirit of Americans. It's the spirit of humankind, and we should never lose that spirit of exploration, of seeking, of wonder, you know, all of that. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, and one other thing, Dalton. It sounds like they're just having a blast. They're in a rocket. They're having a blast. But they're having a really good time up there, too. I know they're doing the work that needs to be done. At the same time, Quinn, when you hear their transmissions back to Earth, they're making the most of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, the pictures, it's open. Not to use more cliches, but it's opening up new worlds to lots of us down here that either haven't seen them in more than 50 years or that have never seen them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Meanwhile, while we talk about this world that we're currently on today, it seems to me to be a particularly important day with this Iran war, as Trump has really drawn the line in the sand about as clearly as you can, and whether it's bluster to push them into a deal or whether he fully intends on giving everything we've got to Iran, bombs-wise, military-wise, what happens today? I mean, it seems like every single offer that's put out there by the United States, the Iranians are quick to turn down.
Yeah. Look, there comes a point where maybe, you know, maybe you got to worry about the human toll of all this. But on the other hand, the human toll of the last 47 years caused by these monsters who run Iran. It's not the Iranian people as a whole, but it's the monsters who are the ruling class. It's terrible. They've got to be stopped. And, you know, I don't have the intelligence. I don't know what the options are, but I understand Trump's inclination to say, let's finish this once and for all and get rid of these mullahs and get rid of these people that do not have the values of caring about human life and all the rest of it.
Yeah, with so many military assets in place over there that we've in time, Dalton, over the last month or two, have put into place over there, it's almost inconceivable that at this point you would just kind of reverse
turn field, around and
turn
come
around
back home, yeah,
with all those assets over there. I don't know what that says, if Trump is really after a ceasefire and really after peace, but we're really set to do something militarily in a very big way, Quinn, if that's going to be the
we will see today, and I hope it works, and I hope it has devastating effect on infrastructure, but not so devastating on human
people.
Life.
Yeah,
and I want to get to the Masters before we head to the break, but one last thing on Iran, and we talked about the wonder and amazement of what they're doing in space. That rescue mission to get both pilots, but especially the Wizzo, the weapons systems officer that was in the middle of Iran for nearly 48 hours, to go in and get him and bring him back without loss of life, absolutely incredible from the reports that are coming out from that.
Magnificent. And then, bless him, he had to climb up to 7,000 feet while he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is the heroism of our day-to-day troops. These are the men and women we are creating through the U.S. military, and my hat is off to them. Just wonderful, wonderful young men and women. They are the pride of America.
So we're looking at, no doubt they are, too, and that was an incredible story in the midst of all these stories out of Iran.
Yeah, that story will be passed down for ages.
Yes, it will. Also, we're looking at this, I don't think the forecast could be better for Mobile, Alabama, or for Augusta, Georgia, the next few days, Quinn, and that's good news for everybody.
Oh, my goodness. If we had time, I would tell you the story of 40 years ago this week and Jack Nicklaus's final charge and the scene at, of all places, Georgetown University, where, I have never seen kids that know nothing about golf suddenly, all of a sudden, start crowding into a room and yelling, Jack, 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 Jack. One of the greatest sports events I've ever seen was that charge 40 years ago by Jack Nicklaus. The Masters should have wonderful weather this week. It's a great tournament. Everybody watch. In fact, I think everybody should take off Friday as a holiday and watch the second round, too.
Yeah, I think
third and fourth.
Even people who are at work probably won't be getting much work done by the end of this week if they're fans of golf.
I was at the Masters one time, Dalton. One time I was a guest at the Masters, and I think it was Ben Crenshaw. My friend was following a player who happened to be a friend of his, a PGA player. He was playing with Ben Crenshaw. It was a real breezy day in Augusta, kind of a little on the cooler side.
Mm-hmm.
Crenshaw must have shot like an 82 or something.
Ooh.
Like that. It was absolutely... So I didn't want to be the present as Ben Crenshaw suffered for 18 holes, Quinn, but I didn't have any choice.
Well, I mean, that was the older Ben Crenshaw. Let me tell you, the younger Ben Crenshaw was something to watch, and I think I've told the story. In fact, I know I told the story before about when I saw him in New Orleans call a penalty on himself and there were only people around.
Yes, you have told that.
The man loves and cherishes the traditions of the game, and if anybody wants to just see love of his vocation and avocation just spilling out of every pore of his body, that was young Ben Crenshaw.
That is so cool. Have you had the opportunity to go to the Masters, Quinn? Have you been?
I was at the Monday practice round in 2007, and I was at the weekend in 2010 when Phil won for the third time.
That's a cool one to
that
see.
That was when Phil won after his wife had come back from cancer, so it was a very emotional win for him then.
That's a good one to see. Yeah, we had a great conversation with Stuart Sink yesterday about...
Really did.
How, he was on your air?
That's right, yeah, about how well his career has been going since joining the Champions Tour, but also with the Masters. And
you had Stuart Sink on air and I missed it?
Yeah,
you did. Yeah.
Well, that's why we had the podcast, Quinn.
He considers Mobile like a second home. He's got so many... He was born and raised in Florence, but he said so many of his cousins are in the Mobile area.
And his grandmother lived here. He used to come and he played a lot of golf down here.
Yeah.
I've always really liked him. He's a cool guy.
He's a great guy. Quinn, thanks a bunch. We appreciate your time this week. And we'll talk again next Tuesday, okay?
Fantastic. Thanks.
You got it.
All right. Quinn, you just got the best news of his week that we interviewed Stuart Sink yesterday.
Yeah. Got him all excited.
Every now and then. You get a guest. 820, that was Quinn Hillier. And we will have, speaking of guests, Jared Hudson, candidate for U.S. Senate. He'll be joining us this hour. And your text, 251-343-0106. As always, a crucial, maybe the most important part of Mobile Mornings. We continue after the news.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Speaking of traffic, got a text from Mark. Soon to be guest, Jared Hudson, running for U.S. Senate, and might have been those accidents or they got caught behind. So they're on their way, they're en route to the studios of FM Talk 106.5, which I hate that he wasn't here sooner because it looks like he's going to have limited time. But we'll read your texts as we go along if you have questions for Jared Hudson.
Yeah, plenty of texts, and you can join them at 251-343-0106. It's been a bit of a quiet morning, just in studio and on the text line, but Middle East anything but quiet this morning as strikes on Karg Island and quite the foreboding post this morning from President Trump.
I mean, that read at least some of that. That's really about as hard as he can hit.
Yeah, after
rhetoric wise, and not that he hasn't been hitting very hard with rhetoric here recently.
And mentioned it earlier in the show, but yesterday was an all-time day as far as sound bites from the president and memes as he was talking about Iran right next to the Easter Bunny.
One clip that I heard on our national news earlier, maybe it was 8 o'clock or 7:30, that this band was playing in the background, too. It just sounded so out of place.
One of my favorite scenes from yesterday, he's I guess coloring eggs or something with the kids at a kids table out there on the White House lawn. And he's telling them, he must have been signing his autograph. And he said, you know, Joe Biden couldn't do this. They would always follow him around with a machine that would sign for him, the auto pen.
Yeah.
And he was telling these kids about this. And then a tuba player starts practicing in the background. It was just a masterpiece for online meme use. But the president this morning, after a pretty hard line drawn already this week for Iran, wrote, a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran. And as he promised to hit power plants and other infrastructure, you know, the Iranians rumored to be telling their people to go and lock arms, kind of like a see you at the pole, you know, in schools where they'll rally around the flagpole. Kind of do that, but to their power plants that the president promised to bomb. So an intense, very intense moment in the war coming up today. And as we speak, Joe texting in, he said, shocking, a positive interview from Quinn. Yeah, the good feelings were going around in that interview.
Yeah, they were.
Backstrap Stacker said, I'm headed up to the Masters Wednesday. First time I've been back since 2000. Congratulations. That's a bucket list for me, bucket list item.
Yeah,
Masters. I had a boss that went every year, and I was I loved that boss, but I was also incredibly jealous that he would go every single year.
I'm thinking it is maybe a 7-hour drive from here, somewhere around there. You get to I-20 and just head to the east, and you'll be there eventually.
Chris, as far as the weapons systems officer being rescued, he said, I think one of the most important things that y'all are missing about this backseat driver that was rescued, that is a full bird. Colonel is not an 18-year-old. You don't become a full borrowed colonel, at least until your 40s. Remarkable what he has done to evade the enemy. Yeah, I mean, the Dude 44, by the way, his call sign, pretty cool. But the fact that he was able to get to where he did in that mountain crevice in order to hide out from the enemy and then reach back out. But, yeah, his rank, not something you traditionally see for a weapons systems officer riding in the back of a jet.
Yeah.
But they were saying something about leading from the front. I don't know if it was a quote directly from him or from his superiors, but an absolutely amazing rescue that will be talked about for ages.
Indeed. Agree 100%. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Our guest has arrived. It's Jared Hudson. He'll be on with us in just moments.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:35. Special guest is Jared Hudson. He's a Republican candidate for the United States Senate in Mobile. He's going to be in Fairhope here in a little bit. And you wanted to drop in and say hello, and we're glad to have you, Theo.
Yeah. So looking forward to this interview and glad you're in, Jared. How are things going? I guess that's the best way to start this interview. You've been campaigning your butt off.
Man, they're going great. And first off, thank y'all for having me. Great seeing y'all. Appreciate y'all having me down here. But, man, God has blessed us tremendously. They're going great. We're going all over the state of Alabama. Been to all 67 counties and a lot of them multiple times. And we're still making that run, you know, so we're going all over the place and spreading our word. Now that pollen's coming out, it seems like every time I talk, you know, it starts welling up in my throat. But all that being said, man, it's going great. We can't complain.
Numbers are good. The numbers are really, really encouraging, man, in terms of your poll numbers.
Yeah, man, and to not have spent any money, right? We're holding all of our shots till the time is appropriate, right, when everybody's really starting to look at, you know, hey, what's going to happen in this race? Who do we need to be voting for? And right now, just regular, everyday Alabamians ain't looking at it. We see the stuff going on in Iran. We see the stuff primarily that impacts us here with affordability, diesel fuel being $6 a gallon, can't afford groceries. So with all of those things going on, people are not into the political every single day, except for when they go home in the evening and they turn on the news, or maybe they're listening to y'all as they drive into work, and that's about it. Then they get to dealing with the rest of their day. But here in a couple weeks, everybody will be looking at
it. Hey, first things first, you're a former Navy SEAL. You knew my son, Zach.
Yes, sir. We worked together. We served together.
And thanks for sharing those stories with me. We had a chance to catch up over breakfast a couple of weeks back, but that was awesome for me. You're looking at the situation in Iran. You've served in Afghanistan and those areas. Yeah. You're familiar with the terrain pretty much. I mean, give us your shot, best shot. What happens here?
Front end, successful rescue mission. That's great, especially for somebody asked me the other day on a news show, like, hey, how important was this rescue mission? I said, for the guy, for the gunner that was rescued, the weapons specialist, the colonel that was rescued, and his family, it's of the utmost importance,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
But you had a bunch of pipe-hitting Navy SEALs, SF operators. You had TF Red on standby. And I was talking to some buddies that were on the ground as part of that operation when they got back. You had a bunch of dudes willing to punch a one-way ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to go and die.
Yep.
They were willing to sacrifice their lives and not come back to their wives and their kids so that they could get an American out of a bad situation.
Amazing.
You had the agency running deception operations, which actually worked and made a very tight window, so they spun up, and these guys made it happen. And that's the most amazing thing we can see. Whether you're for President Trump or whether you're against President Trump and his decision to end the Iranian conflict, which has been going on for 50 years, this is not new. This is not a new war. This is not Israel's war. This is a 50-year process, as long as I've been alive. I'm 40 years old, so longer than I've been alive. This is a 50-year process that it looks like we're trying to bring the end to. Whatever you look at with it, I'm not pro-war. As a guy who's been to war and understands the cost of, you know, great men and women who served and gave their lives, I understand the cost of war because it's spilling blood and giving your own blood. Stand for the warfighter, though, not the war. And I stand for the warfighter. And these warfighters went in and made sure they got the scouts. Now, what's going on? The administration just came out. Trump, I just made a post and said, hey, you got eight hours? Or you got till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? Whatever it is, he has given an extension to the amount of time before we blow you to oblivion. I'm going to go ahead and say we all know the president makes a deal. We tries to make, you know, deals with everybody, and if anybody can make a deal, it's this guy. I don't think he's bluffing on this one. We've got European nations. We've got our so-called allies in Europe who are saying, hey, you're not going to use Diego Garcia, even though they launched an ICBM over toward, you know, was able to make it to Diego Garcia.
Yeah.
We have Arab state partners who are not pulling their weight. The Saudis buckled up shop, buddy. They say, hey, rally point right here. We're not producing any more oil until 5 months after this is over. We have seen the rest of the world, who we fund a lot of our tax dollars go to, turn their back on us in this moment.
We have.
When we have a Persian people who have been run roughshod over by an Ayatollah who's been fighting the United States of America, calling us the big Satan since 1979, that should tell you something about our allies. I don't think this is a bluff from the president. I think this is a, hey, we have tried to flex our strength and create peace through it, but sometimes peace through strength means you're going to have to go up and hit them in the mouth, and I don't think they'll put boots on the ground. They will bomb these folks into oblivion. And so I would say heed the president's words and warning, because that's where we're at, and that is what – that is the power of the United States of America, and that is a very scary thing for the people that are on the ground in that area.
We're talking with Jared Hudson, U.S. Senate candidate, and I do want to get to some issues on the home front, but I want to ask you first, while we're talking war, personal question of mine. My brother flies A-10s, and I think I could tie this into your role as a senator as well.
They just had a Warthog shot down, you know, just recently, which is crazy, but yeah, A-10s are awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, their work in the Middle East, legendary, and saving so many from ambushes and things of that nature, and they've been used so much here in these, I guess you could call it, early stages of this war. Hopefully it's not early stages, but there's been a lot of talk about the A-10 going away for a long time, and it seems like every time they almost put it away for good, it becomes very useful in the theater of war. And so many of similar situations over the years have played out where you'll have congressmen or women or senators who are fighting hard to keep something in their, you know, districts because it makes them money, but might not necessarily be useful in the grand scheme of things. Or you have things like the A-10, which it seems folks want to put away for good, even though its usefulness continues to be seen day in and day out.
I think its usefulness is as big as it's surprisingly big in this war right now.
So as a senator, how do you kind of balance the needs of your districts compared to the overall needs of the United States or the U.S. military?
Yeah, well, one is, as a U.S. senator for Alabama, it's to make sure that we deliver for Alabama, but also making sure that Alabama's delivering for the U.S. military. Now, for us right here in Alabama, just wrapping it all up, we have a national security nexus. If you look at it from Redstone Arsenal all the way down here to Mobile, close to where we're at, the largest port in North America, or the fastest growing port in North America, the largest port in the Gulf of America, this is a naval town, right? This looks like San Diego 1980 or maybe 1975. Like, this is a naval town. Bring it back to Alabama so that we can continue to be the arsenal of the United States of America is unbelievably important. So that would be the first thing. Making sure that we continue to provide for this great nation that is maintaining democracy and freedom for the rest of the world. We're Democratic Republic, and people are knocking down our doors to get here. Everybody looks at the beacon of the United States of America. Making sure that Alabama's the beacon of the greatest nation in the world is unbelievably important. So as a senator, that's how I deliver, not just for the state of Alabama, but also for the United States, because we have a massive national security nexus here. On the other side of it, we have to be prepared in that way, and this is the peace through strength mindset. This isn't military-industrial complex to the sense that everybody wants to talk about, like, oh, they're taking over. No, that's not what it is. This is being prepared for enemies like Iran, but more importantly, enemies like China, who use countries like Iran as a proxy, mm-hmm. for enemies like Russia, who use countries like Iran as a proxy, making sure that we're prepared to fight big regimes, big conventional warfare, and have all of the equipment and the training and everything that's needed. So going back to the A-10, yeah, the A-10 is unreal. We used them in Afghanistan. We would call them in. They would do close air support for us. Mm-hmm. And that 30-millimeter minigun, if we were ever getting rained down on from a mountain, you want to talk about something that would blow the side off a mountain. That thing would come in, and when that gun kicked off, it looked like the plane was hovering as it would go around and shoot up the tops of the mountains. I think I had a video of it on my phone.
Wow.
But those things are absolutely unreal and important for not just ground troops, but destroying and hitting ground targets. It's kind of like you're talking about, hey, people want it to go away. We've got a lot of nimble aircraft, and we've got a lot of fighter jets and stuff like that. But the A-10 Warthog, it is kind of like the 45 of calibers, right? Mm-hmm. You'll get people want to talk trash on it. They want to go to this thing, but you still have folks always going back to the 45 mm-hmm. caliber, which yeah. was, you know, I mean, how long has it been around, right? The 45 ACP has been around since World War I, right? They used it to stop, and said, hey, we can stop a charging horse with it. That's why the Browning automatic pistol was made.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And back to your race specifically, Dan talked about how the polls have really tightened up here over these last few weeks, and you're competing against, well, at least a couple guys whose names have been in the political circles for a while now, and Barry Moore and Steve Marshall. How are you going about differentiating yourself, although it's not too difficult, I imagine, to show how you're different?
Well, I mean, one, I'm not a career politician, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing that resonates across the state of Alabama. We've had guys that have been in Congress and been in politics for some of these guys my whole life. I'm 40, right? I'm not in my 60s now. We've got some up there in their 70s. I'm 40. So my whole life, these guys have been in career politics, or the majority of my life, they've been in politics. So they're career politicians, and everybody's sick of it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, it's time for my generation, right? And this isn't a hit on them or the other generation. It's time for my generation to step in and say, hey, we've got it from here, and take the mantle and make sure that our kids have something and our grandkids have something for the future. The wise man plants trees, no one will ever sit in the shade. And that's what my wife and I are doing. We're planting trees hoping that one day our kids get to sit in the shade and partake in this great state and this great nation that we got to partake in, and hopefully have even greater opportunities. It's incumbent on us in the generation that I'm a part of, right, as a 40-year-old man that fought in GWAT, that runs a business now, that became a law enforcement officer, still a law enforcement officer here in Alabama, all of the things that I do, it's incumbent on our generation to take the next step to make sure that we can continue as the greatest nation on the face of the planet and ultimately elevate Alabama to be the greatest state and the greatest nation.
I know also as far as serving, seems rare to me. You signed, some sort of an agreement to be for an amendment, but in terms of term limits for those that are in office.
Yeah, so what I want to do is champion a bill that standardizes federally term limits, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason to limit yourself on term. Let's say this is me and Katie up there, right?
Off mic just a little bit if you want to pull that mic.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
No, that's perfect.
Let's
great.
Say so me and Senator Britta are up there, and we go up there for two terms and we leave. Well, then you're going to have a California senator that still, because of seniority, they're able to bring back for California or bring back for, you know, Minnesota, where we see the Learing Centers being built up. Your tax dollars going to stupid fraud, waste, and abuse in Minnesota.
Yep.
Making sure that we maintain senators to deliver for our state's important, but also making sure that we start to attack the system that has created the ability to buy access outside PAC dollars, right? All of these interstate PACs, they need to go away. Why? Because they buy access. They're able to buy a spot, buy a position within the government. And once they do that, do you think the voter has access to that legislator anymore? Absolutely not. No. It's the same thing with term limits, right? They'll be less apt to buy access if you can implement term limits. The way I would go about doing it, I think two terms for senator, that's 12 years. Six terms for a House member, that's 12 years. So I think that looks fair. And I believe the way you do that is you grandfather some of the older generation that's up there that would never vote themselves out. You grandfather them in, and I think that's more palatable so you can get it across the line and set term limits in place so we don't see this nasty mess. They call it the swamp, whatever it is, right? We don't see this nasty mess that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, some of them, you would literally grandfather or great-grandfather them in with some of their families at this point.
Yeah, I heard you talking about Lindsey Graham one time. You didn't have kind words to say about him, even though he's a fellow Republican.
Well, I mean, this is what you have to think about with Lindsey Graham, right? And I don't know the man personally, but when we're in the middle of what we're in, and this dude is literally salivating for war. This guy ain't been in a fist fight, much less a gunfight, right? This dude is salivating to go to war with Iran. I question his motives and I question his morals, because as soon as we have aircraft being shot down, as soon as we have service members dying, as soon as we have a government shutdown where we still have the partial shutdown with DHS, where Coast Guard members are deployed in this conflict, not getting paid, this joker's at Disney with his family.
Yeah.
This is the biggest problem with all of these career politicians that are up there. They don't know the cost to the regular everyday American, or in our case, Alabama family, that can't afford to go buy groceries. And they don't know the cost to those who are willing to spill their blood, not for a partisan issue, but for this great nation and this great state, and make sure that we maintain freedom. Every deployment I went on, we lost friends. Every deployment I went on, buddies of mine from the SEAL teams died. And even after I left the SEAL teams, every deployment, the guys would come back, somebody was dying on deployment. Didn't matter if it was Iraq, Afghanistan, Northern Iraq, Syria. Didn't matter where it was. Guys were giving their life, not for a partisan cause, but for this nation. These politicians don't understand it.
I know you've got a busy schedule, so we won't keep you much longer. Want to get you in again because we have all kinds of questions. But what kind of message do you want to leave our listeners with this morning, and also how they can find out more about the campaign and get in touch with you?
Yeah, so first and foremost, the thing you need to know about Jared Hudson is that I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing about me, because it's the only thing that's eternal. Secondly, I'm a seventh-generation Alabama family man. I've got a beautiful wife and three beautiful little girls we're raising right here in the great state of Alabama. And I want to make sure that they have the ability to have the same opportunities, and hopefully even greater than me and my wife have. Number three, United States Navy SEAL, currently a law enforcement officer, and I run a nonprofit called Covenant Rescue Group that combats human trafficking. That's what defines Jared Hudson. If you want to look up policy positions, if you want to look up who I am and what I'm about, I'm big on making sure life is affordable for us here in Alabama, and I'm big on making sure that we support and back our warfighters and don't just back a war that puts money in the pockets of politicians. You can check us out at hudsonforalabama.com. Like, share, and follow on all the social medias.
Hey, thanks for the nice gift you brought me, by the way. Appreciate it.
Hey, brother. That. Yeah, and thank you for – you raised a great man. You know, I know Zach's no longer with us, and some of the people might know the story and some of them might not. But y'all can look up Ill Mill, look up Zach Miller. He was a great man. Served with him in the SEAL teams, did multiple deployments with him, and thank you for what you did raising a son who turned out to be not just a great SEAL, but also a great man.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. We'll talk again and real soon.
Yes, sir.
Jared Hudson running for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and thank you as well for your service,
hey, thanks
Jared.
Thanks for having me.
And
yeah, man.
Good luck the rest of the campaign. Again, hopefully we'll get you in before that primary, which just a month and 12 days away. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. That's next.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
8:54. Appreciate Jared Hudson coming in. Great conversation with him. And we'll continue talking with candidates as we head towards that May 19 primary. Let me tell you about our friends over at Tobias and Comer Law, the experienced personal injury lawyers who call Mobile home and have been working with clients from Mobile and the Gulf Coast with compassion and a track record of success for making things right for their clients. They're on Dolphin Street at their office. They work each client's case personally from start to finish, and they've handled plenty of personal injury cases over the combined 70 years of experience they have at Tobias and Comer Law and recovered tens of millions of dollars for their clients. Let Tobias and Comer Law put their expertise to work for you. Personal injuries can occur virtually anywhere, whether it's defective products, dangerous surroundings, truck or car accidents, alcohol, drug-related injuries, and then around here, maritime injuries. See those from time to time. If you have the misfortune of being involved in a serious accident, document as much as possible and contact a Mobile-based personal injury attorney immediately. It's very important. You can call them, free consultation, at any time of the day, any time of the week. Their number is 251-432-5001 or visit their website, full of great information, TobiasComerLaw.com.
855, text line is 251-343-0106. Michael says, yeah, I'll be voting for Hudson. I would have preferred Ainsworth, but he clearly sounds like the best candidate. That's in Michael's opinion. Also, Fire Dog says, well, Jared has my vote. And yes, the A-10...
The Warthog.
Warthog, yeah, is a truly awesome plane. He has experience with it.
He said, I got to see one in action in Iraq. There's nothing, absolutely nothing like it. Yeah, and I mean, I know it's a personal fight of mine because of my my brother's relation with the A-10. But, I mean, it's kind of indicative of bureaucracy as a whole, right? And you have Congress members in Arizona and Georgia and elsewhere who've been fighting like hell, honestly, to keep those A-10s around, and really a lot of service members who've been fighting to keep them around because mm-hmm. they saved their bacon more than once or twice during the wars in the Middle East.
You'll have an appreciation for a plane that has saved your life.
But at the same time, you have these defense contractors who are always coming out with the newest, best thing, and it's kind of, it reminds me of how everyone says, oh, I used to, back in the day, be able to buy an American-made toaster or an American-made fridge, and it would just last for generations. But where's the money in that? Mm-hmm. If you're not replacing your broken-down refrigerator every 3 years, it's tough for a place like Sears to make money, although I guess Sears didn't make out too well in the end anyway.
But. Yeah, and I was getting those indicators and text messages from my doctors and my dermatologist and my dentist, and they want to remind me that I'm breaking down too. They want to remind me that I need to always be repaired. There seems to be an industry in repair of the humans and, of course, of all the appliances and the weaponry.
That is a great point when you drag humans into it. We are an economy of repair.
Yes, we are.
But when you have something that works, even if it's not the fastest or most technologically advanced, it's why are you trying to throw it away? Just a question I have.
They're lucky they did not.
They're working on it. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker joining Jeff Poor in hour number one. He'll also talk with U.S. Senate hopeful Rodney Walker in that same race that Hudson is. Walker saying recently he thinks the polls are not exactly being truthful and forthcoming. So we'll hear from him during the Jeff Poor Show.
Now, Walker's...
Rodney Walker running for U.S. Senate.
Okay.
And he's not liking how the polls are looking. He says there's something fishy going on.
Okay.
And then Will Hansen with P2 Public Affairs set to join Jeff in hour number three. Text line. Lots of texts about and for Jared Hudson. We'll hopefully get him back on to answer some more questions I have, like about the national debt. I was seeing the story that 10 years ago when Trump pledged to fix our debt problem, we were at $19 trillion in national debt. That number has since doubled.
Okay, we're going to end it on this less than positive note. 8:59, Dan and Dalton in the morning, back with you at 6 o'clock.